On this episode of EdTech, we take a look back at InfoComm 2019, the products and services that wowed us, AV over IP in the education space, and esports on campus, all that and more, next on EdTech.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is EdTech, episode 75, recorded Thursday, June 27th, 2019. The Wow of InfoComm.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by
Extron, industry-leading technology backed by world-class support.
This is EdTech, the monthly look at the education and technology space. My name is Tim Albright, in for the vacationing, I suppose. Mr. Bill O'Donnell, first and foremost, who we have to talk about all things education and AV technology. His name is Ernie Bailey. He is from UAMS in the beautiful city of Little Rock, Arkansas. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine this morning, Tim.
Awesome. Also with us is Mr. Rob Raspberry. He is from Drexel. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. And in the words of the absent Bill, tradition, should I say, greetings and salutations.
Greetings and salutations. Yes. Very nice. Thank you. All three of us were blessed enough to go to Orlando this year. Orlando in June is beautiful. Just don't wear a suit like I did. We got to hang around with about 44,000, according to InfoComm, 44,000 other AV technology professionals. Ernie, we'll start with you on that. Your impression of the show and what were some of your biggest takeaways of InfoComm 2019?
Well, I did enjoy the show. It was very crowded. Good to see so many people there, chance to network, bump into old friends and colleagues. I don't know that we saw a lot of new technology. You know, we go through periods where, you know, we're blown away by new things coming out in our field. And I don't know that we really saw that this year. We're not at that part of our cycle, but we did see a lot of enhancements to systems. What I was most impressed with is the management and control software being brought out by the different, our different manufacturers that we work with to help us run a cleaner operation and provide support for, you know, our large campus, provide more remote support so we can do what needs to be done. And we often solve problems before faculty or students even know we were having a problem in the space. And we're getting a tighter control over that now. And the software packages, you know, from the different product manufacturers are seeming to start to interface better with the control management overall platforms, such as Crestron Fusion or, you know, AMX's version. They're all talking back to the head-end system, if you will, so we can have one overarching deal and then use that as a reach-in tool to get into the other products.
Very cool. Rob, do you agree that it was more of a small iteration year for InfoComm?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, there were things where, you know, VR, AR was exploding and you know, when AV over IPs first came out, you know, everybody's going gaga. And really this show, which was fantastic, always is, was really more about fine-tuning and evolving existing products. And so Ernie's 100% right. You know, you run into people, you network, and, you know, but in general, the control systems, software, seem to be making improvements on that and, you know, being able to control your systems over the network and like Ernie said, solve problems even before the faculty even, you know, realize that there's something there. So yeah, it's just, it was great. The things that sort of the wow factor were way out of our league as far as wow. There's some of the displays and I know Ernie, you saw something in particular, I think from LG that was pretty just incredible.
It was the shaped, curved display panels. LG will actually show up with a special tool. You design the shape display you want, and they will bend the frame. You know, one-time event type deal to create your special effect. And, you know, if you do need a big wow factor and you have a major donor, I guess it could be something really neat. There are a lot of places I would try to direct my money before it went something like that.
Well, and that particular hallway, and let's talk about the aisle way, I guess, at Infocom. Let's call it Display Alley, right? So yes. If you didn't go to the show, imagine yourself walking through a convention show floor, and you have, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 booths in a row. Good-sized booths as well. You've got Christie in there. You've got Sony in there. You've got Samsung in there. LG, obviously, is one of those. It was remarkable, some of the things that these folks were coming out with. Samsung obviously having, you know, continuing to show off their 8K, continuing to show off the wall, which is their OLED display. I hesitate saying that because it's modular and you can make it bigger and smaller and stuff like that. They had a solid form factor, in other words, actual displays that were 8K. That they were showing content on, which one of the biggest issues when it comes to moving to a new resolution, I don't care if you're moving to 1080 or maybe to 4K, and now we're moving to 8K, has been the content. Samsung is showing off some of their medical technology content. So for medical installations, showing off some of the truer color and the deeper detail. Christie showing off not just some impressive displays, but also they're leveraging the 10 gig SDVOE chip for their Terra line. They were running their entire booth. All the video that you saw in Christie's was off of their own technology, which is Terra, which again is 10 gig AV over IP. It was remarkable in what you could see. And you're right, Ernie, big donors, right? Lots of money. But it's a wow factor. It's not something you're going to put in your classroom. It's a wow factor type thing.
I was also just sort of going to slide in there as well. There were a couple of the AVIXA manager groups that had some pretty cool meetings. Diversity crew, the tech managers, also working on document to sort of to create some kind of standardization for some higher ed installations and explanations of different types of AV and terminology. That was pretty interesting. Because, you know, you mostly think of Infocom as either a training, you know, for CTS or those kind of certifications or the tech. And there's a lot of, you know, different groups that, you know, within the organization that meet to collaborate and exchange ideas. So that was also pretty good.
Yeah, there's two councils that have impressed me over the year. One is the Diversity Council. And both Charmaine and Kevin McLaughlin, he's from the UK, have done a lot of work, and they're working to build that group up, and they've done some really great events. This was the biggest, the most heavily attended Women of AVIXA breakfast that we've ever done. And that sounds weird because I believe we said the same thing last year, right? So they are obviously continuing to grow that. They're continuing to increase those numbers, and it's important. And it's not just all women, right? The room was filled with men as well. It's not exclusionary, right? It's definitely a group that wants inclusion and wants help in encouraging women to seek out this industry, because it's a great industry. You know, I don't care, you know, who you are. It's a great industry to work in. I think that groups like that are helping to make it even more inclusive and a better place to work for all of us. I want to hone in on something, though, that Ernie said, and talking about the software and the management part. Rob, is that something that we're seeing more and more a need of? And, you know, is it helping us, or helping you guys as tech managers, take care of more with fewer people?
So when you're talking about instituting a system-wide management, you know, kind of a situation, I mean, having the ability to log into a dashboard or console and basically see what's going on in all your classroom, you know, manage hours, see what devices are on, off, If there is a certain situation with a control panel or processor, being able to get that all in one dashboard or one display to be able to troubleshoot it as it actually happens or monitor is a very valuable thing. We're trying to institute, you know, Extron's Global Viewer, and I think being able to control systems, especially over IP, is going to be especially valuable, because if you have a good, you know, infrastructure and pipe as far as that goes, it helps you react to situations a little faster and get just an overall of what's happening on your system. So yeah, it becomes important because the scale of what we're doing is larger. It's not like it used to be where we had a couple specialized buildings. You send a tech over here, you send a tech over there, and you got 10, 20 classrooms and you're good. It's not like that anymore at the size of our institutions. You're literally talking about hundreds of spaces that you have to manage.
Well, isn't that also being driven by the fact that nearly everything that we put into classrooms now has the ability to be put on the network?
Correct.
You know, I'm not saying you're doing it, but whether it's a simple classroom, and again, when I was doing classrooms, we had some of these simpler ones, which the biggest piece of technology in there was a projector, right? And there was a connectivity for a laptop or a computer, but that's still a piece that we had to manage. And it had a network connection. It had a network jack that we could put on our own our management software. That increases the number of classrooms and spaces that you're responsible for. Yeah. All right. Moving on here, we're going to bring up another article here. Actually, this one is from our friends over at AV Network, talking about tips for AV distribution over long distances. Ernie, we'll start with you on this. According to the article, quote unquote, one of the greatest challenges facing tech managers today is the need to distribute AV signals long distances near zero latency from a variety of sources. First question is that a good premise to start with? Are you guys faced with that?
Yes, I think any of us are, especially if we're moving more into the network world, you know, it's, I guess, the step beyond digital. Where we were, where we're actually not just connecting to the network, but we're actually writing our signals across the network and through network switches, getting the priority we need. You know, latency is a big issue. And making sure our signals are arriving at the right time. Audio and video both travel at the same speed. Audinate showed off some neat AV over IP stuff where they're, you know, they've been doing this with audio for several years now. They're adding video to it. So we're going to be seeing, I think, a better response there. But I think, you know, finding a good way to reliably and consistently move our signals across the network is where we're going. So, like I said, you know, we've run into some issues with latency, and we've also, you know, the amount of bandwidth that we require for some of these systems.
All right, Mr. Raspberry, same kind of question. Is this something that you guys are running into? And if so, what's the best solution for it?
Well, it's definitely going to be an issue for us as we sort of build out more classrooms and deal with multiple campuses. We're still, you know, HD-based T, and for a lot of stuff that we're using right now, it hasn't been an issue, but the ability to sort of not be limited by the distance, and also, as Ernie had talked about, you know, pretty much the bandwidth and the pipe and being able to continuously be able to control these devices is a big advantage. I have to honestly say we're not completely there yet, but I see that in the future we're going to have to convert this over so that, you know, again, the distance and the instantaneous control doesn't become a problem. So yeah, this is big.
When it comes to sending video over the network, you guys work with your IT departments, obviously, on probably a daily basis. When you start having those conversations, what's been some of the reaction and when it comes to, you know, either the conversation of, you know, one network for everything, or keeping video on its own private network, or just the overall conversation of, you know, you're sending video over the network in general?
I think that when you talk about high amounts of information being sent over a general network, IT's, I think in general, their policies is we need to put it on a separate VLAN, at least where I am. That would be their position. And that would also include, you know, putting control systems on a separate VLAN so you keep it away from the general traffic that, you know, the university is using. I don't know how things are evolving, and obviously, you know, having to build up your infrastructure with changing certain switches are not able to handle certain things. So you have to think about it, you know, on an infrastructure level, that you have to make sure that everything's working, the switches, connections, all this stuff has to be properly done. But in our institution, we would prefer and say, yeah, we need to put you on a VLAN, a separate VLAN, and you guys deal with it. And we'll if there's any issues, you know, give us a call. But we do want this crossing over on the general traffic on the network.
Mm-hmm. Ernie, same kind of question. Are they putting you on your own network or on your own VLAN?
No, we're part of the campus network. You know, there's a single infrastructure. They're trying to build it out as we can. My group is actually part of network engineering, which helps a little bit in communication, if nothing else, and hopefully some understanding between the two groups of what we need, what we can provide, what they can provide. I have gaming at home and I don't need anywhere near that much bandwidth. And you know, you're talking about lower resolutions than what I'm using there, lower bandwidth. Why do you need that much? Well, you realize your gaming system is one system. We're looking at putting multiple signals out of every room. And, you know, if we're going to build this out the way we would like to, every source hits the main network so it can be routed anywhere on the campus. That's where we'd like to be.
Yeah.
But once again, that is a lot of bandwidth when you start talking about it and trying to prioritize what goes where. We've started streaming recording for special events that, you know, used to just be done through our video conferencing system. They would attach a recorder to the codec network bridge. And that's fair, but all of our systems have dual streaming cards in them. So we send out dual stream video signals with full bandwidth audio, and we can record that and, you know, provide it to our marketing department, or they can give it out to media groups if they want to, or distribute it internally. I'm not going to put a recording device management system in every classroom. We've got one at our main AV help desk. We have a separate help desk for AV versus IT. And I have to remind people, we're a hospital. We're more hospital than we are school.
Okay.
Campus, even though our first name is university, the hospital wins.
Yeah.
On security, on bandwidth, on anything else, you know, that's the primary income source, and that's the primary focus of the campus. All of our schools are health science related. We don't have any undergrad general programs. They're all medicine, pharmacy, nursing, health professions, public health, or a graduate school for biomedical sciences. So everything is medically or hospital related, our research and everything. So that wins on the bandwidth. But when they require additional bandwidth, there's more for us too, because they're not needing it, you know, all the time. They're not needing all of it across the entire campus. So we're working to move things across better and communicate our signals.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Last story here actually comes to us from our buddy Scott Tyner. He writes in Rave Pubs about esports in academic in the academy. I want to point a couple things out. First of all, according to Scott in his article, according to Wikipedia, the 2017 League of Legends, which is a video game, for those of you who don't know, League of Legends annual finals tournament had 60 million viewers. Compare that with 28.2 million who watched the World Series the same year? 28 million people watched the World Series. 60 million, which is bigger, in case your math is wrong, bigger than the 28 million. Video games are no longer just for kids. I'm 40-some-odd years old, and I still play them from time to time. One of the biggest one of the biggest video games in the world right now is Fortnite, but Fortnite is not the only one, right? You have stuff like League of Legends, you have Overwatch, you have other ones. You have an entire channel called Twitch, which folks can stream, and there are people who play video games full-time as their job, right? And so about 2 years ago, the first time I heard of an integrator putting in an esports gym, for lack of a better term, or training facility. This is our buddies over at New Era Technology, John Green and his team. They actually used a video wall and put together a pretty slick system that allowed the students who had scholarships for esports to come in and practice video games. So Rob, we'll start with you on this. Ernie, you're going to get a disadvantage here because you just said you're a medical facility, and unless they're playing in their dorms, this has nothing to do with.
Right.
But it's still a good conversation to have when it comes to how do you, number one, Rob, get yourself as a technology manager ramped up on what you need to know, because when your president or your chancellor comes and says, you know what, Rob, I think we want to do this whole video game Atari thing. How do you get ramped up and how do you get the knowledge base to make good, solid decisions, whether that you're designing it or you're bringing somebody else in to really kind of capitalize on this movement?
So, I mean, the first thing we have to understand is that video gaming is a culture. It's a subculture within it.
Yeah.
And it just sort of naturally progressed. We all played video games at some point when we were kids into young adults. And it is becoming pretty much the main pastime for any student. And it sort of just makes sense that if you're trying to attract students to a campus or give a little oomph or a little wow, adding something like this makes perfect sense, because you know that there's going to be some type of financial backing for it. It's so popular. It adds, you know, to the university culture, everything, that it just really makes sense. Now, as far as understanding what is needed to set it up properly, gosh, I guess you have to go to a whole bunch of different resources. I know Scott had visited one of the other universities and took a look at it. And to see this thing, but also, I mean, there's a ton of these regular video game tournaments out there, and I suppose going out and checking some of those out to see how those are set up would be fine. But you know, it's a little hard for me to completely say how to prepare for it, because basically, you have high processing machines, great graphics, wonderful displays, and you know, finding the right space to put that in. But I mean, I guess you sort of have to treat it almost like a mini arena. I mean, you know, your sports teams play on basketball courts, or, you know, in tennis or, you know, football, basketball, whatever. And I guess you have to sort of take a look at this, and maybe, you know, first thing I guess I would probably do is sort of reach out to the students and say, hey, if we do this, how would you set up a space to adequately provide the needs that you have to be competitive in this area? And then reach out to some of the integrators or someone that has some experience with this to see what they say. But I mean, face 60 million viewers. I mean, I hate to say it's not quite a no-brainer, but it is. I mean, it's just so much a part of almost every student's culture. It's funny, when I interview students for positions that we have, we ask them, what do you like to do? Video games, video games, video, video games. It's everywhere. It's just ingrained in there. So I guess you just have to come up with, it's like a Uber man cave, I guess, so to speak, video man cave, just, you know, to the max on steroids, I guess, is the best way to describe it. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, making sure that you have some sort of outlet like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned that the arenas, there are several around the country that either are brought in, you know, systems are brought in for tournaments to be played live, and folks attend these as sporting events. The best explanation of that I ever heard was it was actually a cartoon, and the panels were basically a dad asking his son why he was watching, you know, somebody else play a video game, and he said the same reason you watch baseball. And if you think about that for about 2 seconds, he's not wrong.
Right.
It's a game, you know, just like baseball or football. Granted, it's not, you know, there's no physical, you know, large physical activity, but there are skills involved in these video games. And as someone who, if you're a kid who plays it, watching someone who's better than you is the equivalent of watching somebody who's better than you play football or baseball, or in my term, hockey, it's still enjoyable, and you get to see them and you know, root them on. So,
yeah, I mean, there are people who create Twitch and YouTube channels that have thousands and 10,000s and 100,000s of viewers, and basically they're recording other players playing these various games. And so people want to watch that, see the skills, see, you know, get little tips and tricks how to, you know, get through a game. And the other thing is now that a lot of these games are so team-based, which makes it sort of cool. You know, there's teams, you know, your team versus another team. It's not just necessarily you versus individually someone else in a lot of cases like this. Yeah. And, you know, when you have universities that have this essentially as technically a varsity sport, you know, there's something going on there that you have to be aware of and start to think about. I know we have some type of sports club at that. It's not a full-blown, you know, varsity sports kind of thing. But this is something that we're taking a look at and trying to figure out how we can best prepare for this, because as it grows, Drexel may get a team. We don't know.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy, which you know.
Tim?
Yes, sir.
As you mentioned, you know, that doesn't really fit into my environment, but in a way it very easily could, and I could see it happening here, because the same skill set you see in the virtual reality and in the different game sets are being mimicked in the medical world, and
right,
how you deal with your computers and, you know, letting the technology work and manipulating it, I think is very similar. You know, we've always seen a lot of musicians in the medical field, the dexterity you have to have with your fingers for playing a musical instrument translates very easily into medicine. I think the same thing can happen with the gaming. And as Rob mentioned, the teamwork. We're seeing a big trend towards team-based medicine, where the doctors and the pharmacists and the nurses and the nutritionist and the therapist all work together as a team to treat a patient. It's not necessarily the doctor's the boss anymore. It's you're all there to provide your specific care, and you work together to meet the patient's need. That teamwork can be taught through some of this gaming. And I can really see some of this coming into some of our new educational programs. And, you know, and also we talked about the level of technology. We're putting in a special center for our radiology department where it's everything is 4K, 444. I had a hard time buying the card I needed, output card for the computer, because it's the same one that everyone has at home for their gaming device. It's a very high-end card. It's not really expensive, but it's very high-end. And justifying that through our IT procurement office, you know, was a little bit of a challenge at first.
They thought you were going to take it home and play World of Warcraft or anything.
Exactly. That they said, is this for students to play games in the classroom? I said, no, this is for doctors to present. Everything else in the room is at this level, you know. Every projector, they aren't projectors, the displays, all the infrastructure is designed around 4K, 444. I've got to have it there.
Yeah.
And it, you know, we can't have our main source not at that same resolution. Yeah.
That's a really great point, though, about the doctors and the team-based and the dexterity. That's a really great point about incorporating that and kind of, you know, making sure that the student, your students, the medical students, are still maintaining some of that stuff. So, all right, gentlemen, that is going to do it for us for this month. Mr. Rob Raspberry, how do people find you or Drexel?
LinkedIn, Rob Raspberry right there, drexel.edu, in the IT department.
All right, very good. And Mr. Bailey, thank you, sir, as always. How do people get a hold of you?
Once again, LinkedIn, just like Rob. That's the best way to find me most of the time.
All right, very good. My name is Tim Albright. Don't go follow me on the Twitters, but go by the website if you would please. AVNation.tv, that's AVNation.tv. You will find this program and a host of others. While you're there, please check out our supporter section. These are the folks who help us financially, help us bring you EdTech and AV Week and Resi Week and coverage of Infocom, all that and more. All that at .tv, AVNation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. That is all the time we have for EdTech.